Call to order, Muskogee Creek National Council, agenda, extraordinary session, April 4th, 2017. The time is now 6:30 p.m. I'd like to ask Representative Deer to give the invocation.
Creator God, we thank you for this beautiful day. Lord, we thank you for bringing us all here safely. We thank you for your love and your mercy upon us, Lord, and we ask your forgiveness for our sins, and we thank you for all the blessings of life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Roll call, second speaker, David Hill.
Speaker Lucian Tiger.
Present.
Representative Dodie Barnett.
Present.
Representative Dale Beaver.
Present.
Representative Pete Beaver.
Present.
Representative Joyce Deer.
Present.
Representative Donnie Green.
Present.
Representative Randall Hicks.
Present.
Representative Robert Hubb.
Present.
Representative Mitch Jack.
Here.
Representative Adam Jones.
Here.
Representative James Jennings.
Here.
Representative Darrell Proctor.
Here.
Representative Mark Randolph.
Present.
Representative Rufus Scott.
Here.
Representative Thomas Yehola.
Here.
Representative David Hill is here. Speaker, 16 present, 0 absent.
16 present, 0 absent. Constitutes a quorum. All business conducted will be official. Presentation of business, Principal Chief James R. Floyd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to request of the meeting, so I appreciate you showing up tonight and some short notice. Two items, so the order of business. First one is TR-17-044, tribal resolution of the Muskogee Creek Nation authorizing the Principal Chief to execute a boxing and mixed martial arts agreement with the Citizen Potawatomi Nation Athletic Commission. And the second one is NCA-17-051, a law of the Muskogee Creek Nation appropriating funds to be used towards the purchase of real property located in Muskogee County, Oklahoma. That's it, sir.
Thank you, Chief. Order of business, TR-17-044, a tribal resolution of the Muskogee Creek Nation authorizing the Principal Chief to execute a boxing and mixed martial arts agreement with the Citizen Potawatomi Nation Athletic Commission. Sponsor is Dodie Barnett.
Motion to adopt.
Motion to adopt by Representative Barnett, seconded by Representative Huff. Discussion.
Mr. Floyd? Yeah, I start with me. I can explain the purpose of TR-17-044. As you know, our previous athletic commissioner resigned, and we had previously used Citizen Potawatomi Athletic Commission to run events for us. They also do that for the Choctaw Nation. Until such time as we determine that we need an athletic commissioner, we'd like to reestablish this agreement because it's nation to nation and must be signed by the Principal Chief. The timeliness of it is that I think on April 24th we have a mixed martial arts event in River Spirit. So that's, the agreement should be in front of you. It's been reviewed by the Attorney General's office. So I do have Jerry Floyd from River Spirit here if there's any questions.
Jerry, you want to comment on this as well?
First of all, thank you all for consideration on this matter. As Chief Floyd mentioned, since we no longer have an athletic commissioner, it's necessary for us to have someone that is qualified in order to report the outcomes of these events, and should there be any sanctions that are issued, there has to be a sanctioned body that sends those in to all the boxing and athletic commissions on the state and national level. And without someone in our athletic commissioner role, these people do this, as Chief Floyd mentioned, in other jurisdictions. And as a matter of fact, they, even though we had an athletic commissioner, they contracted with these folks, subcontracted basically, so that they have been doing this job since the very first fighting event that we've had here. same people doing the job, but since there's not an athletic commissioner now, again, it becomes necessary for them to assume the authority role for the reporting purposes of the outcomes of the fight. So there are fees associated with that. Those fees are not payable by the nation. Those are for the contractor for the fight. The promoter of the fight pays all the fees that are associated for the commission's commission fees. So it would be of no cost to the nation as well. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Any questions for Mr. Jerry Floyd, Representative Hill?
Whenever y'all previously used them, did you have any issues or any concerns now?
None whatsoever. As a matter of fact, they do this for about five different tribal entities around the state of Oklahoma that they go around and they subcontract with them and do this on a routine basis. They're very professional. They handle it without any issues at all.
Thank you, Representative Hill. Any other questions for Mr. Jerry Floyd? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Jody Barnett?
Yes.
Dale Beaver?
Yes.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
Joyce Steer?
Yes.
Johnny Green?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
David Hill?
Yes.
Robert Huff?
Yes.
Mitch Jack?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Adam Jones?
Yes.
Daryl Proctor?
Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Thomas Shahola?
Yes.
Speaker, 15 in favor, 0 against.
15 in favor, 0 against. That motion is adopted. NCA 17-051, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation appropriating funds to be used toward the purchase of real property located in Okmulgee County, Oklahoma. Sponsor is Daryl Proctor.
Speaker, motion to adopt.
Motion to adopt by Representative Proctor. Seconded by Representative Jones. Discussion. Representative Proctor.
Speaker, I'm going to allow the Chief time to speak on this.
Chief.
I kind of need to apologize that this popped up so quickly, but this has come to the forefront within the past month. I think the first discussion I had with the Dr. Robert Zellner was a couple days before the last council meeting. This packet that you have before you represents property that is set. But was set to go to auction on April 6th. When I first spoke with him, the reason that he's selling this is he's going through a divorce, and to settle the divorce, they have to sell it and divide the proceeds of the property. From the first conversation I've had with him, he's always said, you know, this is like his baby in a sense, and he feels the tribe to be the best stewards of the property. And although we've not met in person, we've had several phone calls. The property is approximately 231 acres, I believe. It's located on Highway 75, about a mile north of, or half a mile north of, the, and across the highway from the Duff Creek Casino. when he first spoke to me, he was offering the property for sale as parcels. And so I think there's a layout of the parcels of this. But the auction was going to include all building structures, some personal equipment there, all minerals, including a working oil pump, I think the oil rig, yeah. Gas, water, that's on that property. So essentially everything that he had any interest in is for sale. What I talked to him about, I said, okay, I'll do, make you three promises. One is that we would send somebody in to appraise the property. I would make him an offer, and it would be before the auction. So we received the appraisal that we ordered on March 25th, I believe. And it appraised at $3.54 million. He has had two appraisals on it, one a few years ago, and the most recent one, his appraisal was $3.55 million. I had, we started negotiating about $3 million, and so he was willing at that point to let it go to auction. He's got he's had many offers that he thinks would come to fruition at the auction, but I let him know that, you know, he's going to be paying probably 10% for auction fees. So I said, you know, more realistically, we're talking about 3.3, he accepted. So by doing so, we don't really have any closing costs. We've done the appraisal of the property. The environmental has already been done and completed with no findings. And we just need to do the survey at this point, should we buy it. The source of funding would be the Jewel Judgment Fund. It's not restricted. The background of the Jewel settlement was a suit against the Bureau of Indian Affairs for mismanagement of oil and gas and natural resources of tribes. And so it really fits that part. I think you have one of the documents, the settlement was like $7.5 million or something. And so if we purchase this, we have the funds available and still use a balance remaining. We did have several people go look at it, including our staff from Department of Interior, Agriculture, Commerce, and then most recently we had FSB, the group that was approved under the last council meeting to do the master plan. I spoke with them, and they felt that because it had some connection to Okmulgee, even though it's not within the 5 mile radius, they would be glad to evaluate that and include it in the work of the master plan without any additional charge. And so they sent somebody up Monday who reviewed it and walked the property and then wrote a 4-page summary that's in there. The individual who went up there is the same person that the Chickasaws use to review all of their properties before they buy it. And so this person is very experienced, very successful, and came down at no cost and put that report together for them. Their recommendation was to buy. It goes into some other details. The appraisal that we had also looked at some comps that of other properties that had sold nearby. Some had sold at lower cost per acre. There's two of them that were distressed. There was another divorce by somebody and a bankruptcy. And several, I think three, had sold more per acres per acre than what this is priced at. And so about within the middle range, I guess, of the estimated price. So that's kind of where we stand at this point. We won't have to borrow any money for this. You know, I think that even if we just bought it and held it, it's kind of, we're buying it below appraised value, so we can lose any money on it, regardless of what we decided to do with it. If we decided to make a good deal and want to sell it, I think we can make a profit, particularly if we had time to do the approach that he was working on, which is to subdivide it. He would have made more money that way, but at this point, he just doesn't have the time to do that, and he needs to sell it for the divorce. Might add that, you know, on full disclosure, I don't know him, never met him, but he has been one of the borrowers of money from One Fire. And as you know, in the quarterly reports, when we talked about the 66 auto auction, that's a business that he owns. One Fire has loaned him cash. He's paid everything back. We charged him more interest than anybody else, and he's paid. So he recently expanded his business, borrowed money again, and so he's paying back. So at some point, he's probably going to be paying us more than we're paying to buy the property, but we're not there yet. Pleasant guy. I don't know if you know him. The doctor, ophthalmologist, I believe. I'm not sure. But I found him to be very open. He's allowed a number of our staff to go up there and go through the property. It does have at least one residence. And so what I'd like to do, before you have any questions, I think Mr. McIntosh has queued up here behind us the video of the property, and so we'll take a couple of minutes. We can take a look at the property, and we'll be glad to answer any questions.
Yes, this is the auction company actually produced this video, and so that's kind of, they're the ones that narrated it, and they produced it for the auction that would take place, I guess, on Thursday if we didn't purchase it. But it provides a visual and overview, so I'll let it take over.
An exciting public auction on April 6th at 2 p.m. as we fly over the tasteful stone entry and down the main drive entering the ranch. To your left on track 3, you will see the indoor arena with 15 box stalls, 8 folding stalls, a 160-by-80-foot riding arena, lounge, bar, and tack room. And then to your right on track 2, you'll notice the 12-stall mare barn with individual runs, breeding stocks, vet room, office, and a 2,090-square-foot home with 2 beds and 2 baths. Continuing on their left lays a 220-by-150-foot outdoor arena equipped with full lighting and calf chute system, as well as 10 individual folding turnouts for mares. And then straight in front, it's hard to miss the paved drive leading to an incredible building site with a foundation already in place from a previous home. As we transition to the back side of the property, we're flying over tracks 9, 10, 11, and 12 with the 3-stall stud barn, individual turnouts, vet room and breeding stocks, plus a newly remodeled 3-bed, 2.5-bath home with granite throughout, 2 living areas, and an awesome back patio. And this house has never been lived in since the remodel. Here we're flying over track number 8. It's a great looking hay meadow with an actively producing oil well that would be offered as track number 12. This provides an opportunity to generate some passive income from the property. As we move back toward the ranch headquarters, you'll notice the beautiful track number 4 on your far right. This parcel is 39 acres with a 3-acre pond, 9-stall barn, and 5 individual turnouts, as well as an outdoor riding arena. To your far left are tracks 5, 6, and 7 that overlook the entire property and offer an exciting opportunity for those seeking a building site without purchasing any of the existing improvements. As we fly back over the ranch headquarters, don't forget the unique marketing opportunity that comes with owning this ranch, as over 40,000 vehicles per day pass by its gates. Please join Schrader Auctions working in cooperation with Greg Gansko and G7 Ranches on April 6th at 2 p.m. for this exciting auction.
Other points real quick. He has pulled this off the auction pending our decision. And then the other thing, just I think it's helpful to know, is that Governor Fallon has set 4 priorities for the state: highway upgrades, and one of the 4 top priorities is between Okmulgee and Tulsa on Highway 75. So, you know, this property joins Highway 75 with probably almost a half mile, I guess, frontage to Highway 75. So, you know, if they build up the infrastructure, they're going to be right there where the infrastructure is. And as I said, there's over 40,000 cars a day. I think the latest count I heard was like 44,000. So, just want to add those 2 things, and then I'll turn it over to the other folks for questions.
Chief, will the leases be transferred to us, like the cell tower and all that, oil and gas leases for you?
I got some clarification today. The cell tower does, it is on the property, but he sold the lease of that to the third party. But in talking to the manager of the property, he said that, you know, if we really wanted the cell tower, we could negotiate with them and try to buy that back. What he did get out of the lease was on the southern edge of the property is a section line, paved section line. He said he got they made improvements for $5,000 ingress and egress. So not only do you have entrance on Highway 75, you do have it on the county road that goes east and west. And so there's two ways in and out of there, at least two. But regarding the leases, I think we get leases off to the oil well. I'm not sure. I mean, we get a lease and
production. There's three producing wells on there. According to the documents, we'll get half of the minerals. So that's about 30 net mineral acres that we'll receive. And we could also do a mineral study. So you own some minerals around that area. And that could be an opportunity to acquire more and that's what we want to do. Down the road.
Awesome. Thank you. President
Huff. Chief, question. Yes, producing land there, what is the main purpose at this point in time in your mind? What do you see? I'm reading their thing here because it talks about how it's our belief that this will be a very difficult to make it economically viable, and the fact it is highly unlikely that the existing facility breaks even financially, much less make some profit. So we're not going to get an equine, business. And then also it said, that if you're going to buy this and tear the village down, it wouldn't make sense to buy the land and just tear the village down. So what purpose are we going to be able to utilize this for at this point in time? Or do you have one?
I can't say for sure right now. What my plan is to get one fire gaming, MMDE, Commerce, and Interior involved, as well as FSB, to is going to work on the master plan and develop what the business plan will be for that. It is producing, has been producing income. He's boarded horses there, but all the horses are gone at this point. There's ways that I think at this point, our plan would be just to try to maintain it just like it is by mowing it and keeping it clean until we decide what plan we'll have and then come back to the council with that plan. But we really just haven't had enough time to fully develop a plan. There's a lot of opportunities. Even in the FSB report, they talk about the opportunities that they see that are possible. But we don't have anything to present that says, this is exactly what we need.
Like also, in this paper that we said today, talked about how this will likely require full-time maintenance personnel as well as considerable amount of equipment, such as tractors, brush hogs, and summer variety, and hand mowers that may or not be included with the purchase price. These costs will need to be considered in the budgeting. Are we going to have that in our budget somewhere to be able to maintain the property as it is now?
What we're trying to determine right now is what a personal property comes with it, and he was going to have a second auction of some tractors and things. We haven't talked specifically about all the mowers. I think that would probably, the mowing, groundskeeping would be under the Department of Interior. We'll let Mr. Asbell handle that. There's a caretaker who lives there now. I think it may be best if we just keep that person there because of their experience, and then we probably contract out the mowing that we need to. There's a possibility, like in the hay meadow, that we could lease that out for somebody to bale the hay there.
I have one more question. Recently we purchased the land and trailer park in Tulsa for $5.2 million or what it was. And we all pretty well saw a purpose there at this point in time with the casino maybe doing something. I look at that, then we have this purchased land here for $3 million, maybe in further development. At some point, we look at how we're going to come up with the funds to develop what we have already, and rather than try to acquire something new that we don't know what we're going to do with at this point in time.
That's one view, yes. Yeah. But at the same time, we can always sell it and make a profit off of it if we do nothing with it. And just like the property we bought in Tulsa, there's a buyer willing to pay, I think, $2 million more than what we paid. So if we wanted to sell that property, you could make $2 million and almost pay off this one. And that's 21 acres, and this is 230 something. So it's a sound deal. We don't have a plan yet, but even if we had no plan and held it for it, what his plan is, he mentioned those parcels. His plan was to break it up and sell it in those parcels and make more money off of it than what he has right now. He just has run out of time. And says that he just, I don't know what it is, it's a court order or whatever, but he has to dispose of the property.
Thank you. Commissioner Jennings?
Thank you, Mr. Pickens. Chief, so how about the taxes? What are the current taxes on?
If you know, sir.
If you, in your packet, if you look at it.
Okay. I got it, Chris.
Okay, so it's on the pro forma. And we did put together a operating budget, similar to that, basically what we're utilizing in the punch club. And the idea was the property appraised for value, $3,560,000. If we were able to purchase the property for 3.4 or less, the difference to that, basically what we said, we would operate the property for 1 year within that range. Within the, so that after 1 year, we're at a break-even point. And in the, if you look in the assessment, we'd like to have a full business proposal, including with the master plan and FSP within 120 days of closing. That's
2016 taxes that they put in the report, $5,818. So the annual taxes, I mean, for this size property, I would consider to be pretty low.
Question. In this book, there is the total assessed value for the subject property is $64,971.
Yeah, that's going off the documents that they presented. I think it was from the auction. Was that's what they paid in 2016. They had the receipts in there for what they paid. So I can't really speak to a breakdown of the taxes, but that's what they represented. What was paid in 2016, and that's what the auction house put out there. So that's what the taxes were paid. So I mean, that's what they disclosed is what the taxes were paid. So that's what the $5,818 is based off of.
Mm-hmm. What's this here then?
What's it?
It says assessed value. The total assessed value for the subject property is $64,971.
Well, that's the assessed value. That's not the value that okay. So what's what?
Yeah, I remember reading it somewhere in the appraisal.
Yeah. What page are you on to make the appraisal?
I see you have 5,000 now, yeah.
Yeah.
I see 5,000.
Yeah.
Just a point of reference, we're paying $40,000 a year for country club property taxes. So this is eight times less than what we pay for the country club. Or
how many acres?
80.
And my other question is, it refers to natural gas, it's not on the property that use propane. So what's the possibility of getting natural gas?
I'm not sure about that, sir.
Yeah, I don't know if we can accurately give you a good answer on that as far as that's one question. I mean, we haven't really gone into adding natural gas to the property. So,
are you talking about?
I assume they've been working off of electric for their needs and propane for any other needs that they needed.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Jennings. Representative Green?
It also states that there is inadequate drainage under the slabs. Their foundation. There's no big problems with that.
Might speak to that. Mr. Asba?
Are you referring to which report are you referring to? The FSB report?
Yeah, it's on page 2, third paragraph. Yeah, they note there about the drainage issues. And it is just, so that could be something we could address with landscaping. Bring it in and maybe we could design some drains within there. Within the FSB report, I would also say if you look at the top of page 3, in that first paragraph of the findings, I think one of the things that the video was from a drone, but when you're actually on location to the property, as you can see in the opening sentence, they say that the facilities have been very well maintained and they're in very good condition. I mean, that's very evident that everything they did, this was a thoroughbred operation, and they had very expensive horses. I think one of the stallions that they had in there, I think they said they paid $1.4 million for. And so, I mean, they've got, the horses they had on there were six figures, and then the stallions that they had on there ran into the seven figures. And so, kind of, in the video, there were some parts I wanted to pause. The stud barn at the back, it's, right now it's got three stalls in it, and it turns out into three 1-acre turnout pens that have doors each of the stalls. And then the opposite side of that, you could add three very easily just by putting up the partition wall and fencing. So there's a, the facility's been very well maintained. And then I'd also point out in that same paragraph, if you go on to the next sentence, it talks about it being less than a mile from the Duck Creek Casino. And it says it makes it particularly well suited for acquisition by the Muskogee Creek Nation. And I think that's one point within the property. It's a unique opportunity in the location to buy this much acreage on Highway 75, where you've got about half a mile it's on Highway 75, but then to buy this many acres all at once. This is something that Dr. Zellner's pieced together over several years, and so I think he's probably particularly heartbroken to sell it. But I mean, that's another thing, when you look at the combined acres, this would be very hard to put together, and it would take something years to put together over time to put together this amount of property into one location to where it's all connected. And then, same thing, that paragraph, in the last sentence, it closes with a steady upside growth potential. So that's another thing that kind of speaks to the location of the property. Everyone that I've spoken to about the property, any mention of it, that's almost the first thing that comes out of their mouth is the location. People who know where it's at, the location of it, how level it is with the highway, it's not below it, it's not way above it, it's right on the sideline of the highway. So that presents it. As far as the location, but the elevation as well, in terms of just the viewpoint from the highway, I think, it speaks a lot to it. And then the steel that was used, it's not, the fences have been well maintained, they've been kept painted. It's not anything where it's thin pieces of steel that's full of rust. I mean, it's big pieces of steel, I mean, mostly 6-inch pipe, and they painted it over time. So it's been very well maintained. It's something that they stayed on top of. It was, like I said, I think at one point within the arena barn, they had a Kentucky horse winner stay there two separate times. And so what that spoke to me was the first time, speaks to the reputation, but they stopped there and they boarded the horse there. But then also that they came back a second time for such an expensive horse speaks that they probably had a good experience there, I would say. And so the property is quite impressive.
Thank you, Mr. McIntosh. Representative Yola.
Okay, thank you. I don't see in this legislation where if it is bought, then it would be, you know, put into trust. And so I would like to ask someone if they have a feel on if this nation will be successful in getting lands put into trust in a faster manner than what we have seen. Now, the reason I'm asking or saying this, because, you know, we bought Fountainhead at auction also, and you know how many years that's been, and it's not in trust yet. And so, you know, this brings up the, to me, an issue of how long would it take if we can get it into trust, especially with this upcoming administration. I don't know if you've had any feedback from this administration on how and if they're going to handle these trust applications. Is anyone can answer that?
Sure, if I can. Mr. Hall, on Fountainhead, first of all, when I think it was December 2015, there really was no application on Fountainhead for trust until 2015. It was rejected in December 2015. We resubmitted it, I think, April 2016. And as we sit here now, it's the parcel that the Department of Interior is working on. They have a couple questions for Sonia to respond
And so we're at like step 9.9, the 10 steps to get it in trust. And so that's really only been a year, 12 months, that we've had a valid application there. We've talked about that. I think it'd be best for us to put it into trust. And then we can start that application after the purchase. But I think I really want to see our own business plan and within 120 days have that prepared. That, to me, would determine whether all of it or part of it would go into trust. And then it would prepare the application. In terms of what Department of Interior is doing right now, you know, there's nobody at the helm. I've heard that they want tribes to put property in trust, especially the ones that have natural resources on it. And I've heard that they're not doing anything. On our case, ours seems to be progressing since January. You know, they've been in touch with us, giving us what, weekly emails?
Yeah.
So they're staying in touch with us. We know they're working through it. But I don't know what the timetable is when they will actually get the trust approval. But the next two steps are the Interior will place it in the trust, and then we'll go to the National Indian Gaming Regulatory Commission, I guess.
Yeah.
And then they approve it, which they told me that wouldn't take long for the purpose of gaming. So I think what's going to take longer at Fountainhead is to get the property from the Corps of Engineers, which is already in trust, is in trust by law, assigned over to us. It may take 18 months to get that brought over to us. We're supposed to have a meeting with them soon. They have an appraisal of what the value of that property is, and as required in the law that we have some negotiated agreement on the value of the property, but it's really not much. I mean, you can't build on it, and you're really just buying water access. We're proceeding on that one.
Good, thank you.
Yes, sir. I just want to point out two things. Is this particular property, Highway 75 corridor, has been an area that we've strategically targeted because of the growth patterns associated with Tulsa and moving south. We have a lot of assets along 75, going up Longy and all the way into Glenville and Tulsa. This particular property is one of the largest properties that come up in the last 10 years that I know of, in terms of all combined 236 acres that a half mile along Highway 75. I think with the Duck Creek community there, and we're able to somewhat control some of the development in a much better way that it can work to our advantage, I think, as we move forward over the next several years. I think Chief Floyd has been very visionary in that approach, and I just like to say, you know, we have a lot of assets in 75, and for us to be able to maintain this 236 acres, particularly without county zoning, you know, Longy County, we can kind of dictate what the development is going to be, and use it to our advantage.
Thank you, Representative Holden. Ms. McIntosh, do you have any more input on that?
Kevin and I are just sitting here looking at the title deed, and then I think I'm going to defer to him on the contract then.
Mr. Ballinger.
Yeah, the title opinion, it appears there are some title issues, and so I think if we're to move forward, we probably need to have a contract that allows us to correct those things before we get to closing, because there are some mortgages that appears on the property, and those look like they're pretty good size mortgages that exist. And then there's some encroachment issues, I think, as well. We need to check with the, it says the bankruptcy court, but probably even with Longy County, to make sure there are no outstanding liens or anything of that nature on the property. So I think it's okay to approve this to show we've got the money there and it's available. But before we take any further step, we probably need to enter into, I think, a contract like our typical real estate contract with Mr. Zellner, to make sure we can clear title before we get to closing.
I talked about earlier with the Bureau, as far as putting this in trust, for gaming or for any other activities that the tribe may pursue, and their thoughts on the matter, depending on what funds we use, if we use the dual funds or however that came about, if we worded it in such a way that that may be proactive in putting that interest, that would help in the decision analysis. That couldn't hurt, that if it is a gaming acquisition, we could do certain parcels, however the tribe chooses to do that. But you know, we haven't had any problem putting parcels in trust for non-gaming. Now, the gaming acquisitions, those are totally different. You know, prior to this management coming in, other tribes did the gaming parcels in trust right before the new administration came in. Ours was right there ready to go on Fountainhead, they said, and then you know, that didn't happen. However, we haven't had any problems putting anything in trust on the level that the superintendent approves those. So that, you know, there's not going to be a problem putting anything in trust, you know, with the funds or what we have here. So that wouldn't be a problem.
President Huff? I just want to state, you know, when you're talking about the funding source and dual, when that money is coming in, we council sit here and decide we're going to discuss what the best use of that money is going to be for, and we were looking at using it towards some help to citizens in some way. So, you know, and that's kind of where I stand at this point in time, because I don't think we've had a good discussion as far as the council goes to discuss what the money should be used for.
Thank you, Representative Hoft. Chief.
Mr. Speaker, just regarding the title issues, I did speak with Dr. Zellner today. They know that, and they're committed to clean up anything with the title. We have to have a clear title. So they know that there are several mortgages and they're willing to work with us. So we will not buy it until the title is clear. And he's aware of that too. So it's not lost.
Thank you, Chief. Representative Randolph.
Where's the pipeline? Is it anywhere across this land, or you know, where it's situated around?
It's further from Duck Creek Casino. It's so you're north of it by about a half mile. So it's further away than the Duck Creek Casino is now. I mean, it's probably 100 yards of that property. We'll be a half a mile away from it. At the southern edge of this property.
So nowhere on that property.
There's no cross that property.
Thank you, Representative Randolph. Representative Hicks.
Thank you, Speaker. No, I'm just looking at this booklet. They did bring up the mortgage, and that was one of the questions I had. I think we can hold on it until we find out exactly what is owed on it. Not only mortgages, there's some taxes, track one and track three. Since that was paid, but track two half has been paid and half isn't. So there are some other issues that are not clear. But Chief did mention they wouldn't do anything because everything was cleared. So with that being said, is the price going to be lower?
We haven't talked about the price being lowered, but it's on them to take care of all that with their money. We don't pay anything for closing or any of those other things. They have to have it all. Before we pay them any money, that all has to be cleared up. And they understand that. They know that we don't buy any property that's got anything encumbered on it. We have done the environmental. The environmental's come back good. We've done the appraisal. We've not done the survey. We'll do the survey. That's on us. But all these other issues are things that at their expense you're going to have to certify to us that they've been resolved, similar to the property that we bought down at Hammond.
So do we need a vote on this tonight, or do we need to wait and see if they're going to work?
Mr. Speaker, what we're asking for is the authority to buy it and the money to put behind that. We will not pay out anything until we've cleared everything up. If you vote no, it goes up for auction on Thursday, and we won't be on the list.
One of the things, I'm just going to throw it out there. Just since this hit the website or whatever and going to the community meetings, one of the questions that was asked to us is, why do we keep buying land? And it's been mentioned tonight. What's the purpose? They know we bought the land south of the casino. We bought that. Nothing's being done. You got the country club. Nothing's being done. And then they're saying, what about our hospital bills? So we're spending money on land, but then we got people suffering healthcare wise. That's what's being brought to me.
Chief.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. And we're addressing the healthcare issues. I mean, you have different subjects there that, and I know, you know, I hear the same things as well. But, you know, in terms of health, we may be able to break even by September 30th, we hope. That's a good 8 to 9 months ahead of where we thought we would be. So, you know, it's generating more income. We've got two new facilities opening this year, good facilities. So we're not neglecting healthcare. We've got $124 million being put into 96 at Okemah and 122, 26 in Eufaula. So, you know, we're making investments in healthcare. The one in Eufaula with the joint venture will pay us back several billion dollars over the 20-year period of time where they'll have operating money. The property south of the casino in Tulsa, if that's what you're talking about, we could sell it tomorrow and probably make $2 million off of it. So, and this is an undervalued property as well. If we buy it at this price, we know we're buying it at a fixed price. If you go to auction, I don't know what it's going to sell for. And we won't be there to make it. This is it. That's all I promised them. And fulfill the promise. He's willing to accept it. And he's willing to clean up anything so that we have clear title and good property. And then we'll set to work to, as Attorney General's office works to resolve all the other matters, we'll have a group of people doing the business end of it to see, you know, what we will put there. I'd like to see commercial use because you got a half a mile of frontage. That's much more than we have right here at the Travel Plaza. And it's, if we were to move gaming, you've got, you know, gaming's on the downhill side of that highway. This is on the flat uphill side. It's safer access. And we're getting ready to spend money over there. I think $1 million just, or the $500,000 on a deceleration and acceleration lanes to go into that other one. We wouldn't have to spend that. I would have Chris hold off on that until we get the business plan, because I don't want to spend $500,000 on something that's going to lead to nowhere. I know that, you know, Duck Creek is, I think, what, third or fourth, I think it's the third highest grossing gaming site. You know, there are plans that they're going to have to renovate it. So, you know, where are we going to put the money? That it's generating net revenue back to us. We know each quarter we get that. You know, we'll look at seeing how we maximize that. So I think, you know, I can respond to citizens and tell them, we aren't buying land. The only one we're having a problem with right now is Country Club. And we get an FSB company that we just talked about earlier, that's in the master plan. They're going to be looking at it, determining the structure, you know, that's there, the soundness of that, the uses of the property. And if it doesn't work for us, it's not in trust, we can put it up for sale and sell it. I doubt if we'll get our money back on it, because I think we paid way too much for it. We paid as much for it as this property is.
Thank you, sir.
Representative Hicks, Representative Proctor.
Thank you, Speaker. You know, I think they've done a lot of, I mean, they presented a lot of information, a lot of questions. There's a lot of answers here that just by reading, you know, got the questions answered. But we get a lot of questions also, even when we build our community buildings. Why are we spending all this money on community buildings when we, you know, we get that also, and we get, why are you spending on lawnmowers? Why are you doing this? We get all those questions regardless. Regardless if whatever we do, we get those questions. Well, we got citizens are not receiving this or that. But buying land is an investment, and I see that this as an investment. Like I said, you know, the long range plan is 20 years from now. If we still have this, what's the potential there? You know, people bought land here in around Jinx Glenpool area 25-30 years ago, and look where it is now. And that's something that you have to look at, not just next year, 5 years. You know, let's look at 20-25 years. But and I understand we have responsibilities, and I think Chief is in the right track. We've got the with the health, and just like you said, you know, they're a little ahead of the schedule there. But this land is an investment, and I see it as an investment, and I fully support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Butler. Any other questions or comments? Representative Hill.
I'm just throwing an example out there. When we went after a river walk, I mean, we just had a silent person go in to bid on it. So back here on page 14, you know, it says that even the ownership indicated a hope for value in the range of $3 million. So how do we come up with $3.4 million on the legislation? I mean, he's just hoping to get $3 million. If we go in a silent auction, I mean, what's the odds that he's going to get what he wants at 3.5, what it was appraised at? I mean, it may be cheaper. We can probably get it for 1.5 if we had someone else go in and bid on it like we did Riverwalk. Well, I mean, yeah, like I said, it's too late, but how long have you been working on this? For a month and a half? We got that legislation the night before the same way we did Riverwalk. I mean, I think it's good. I mean, I think it's a good property. It did indicate there's two gas wells and two oil wells. But the only thing I just hate to use that jewel money, because as Representative Hubb said, when we first agreed on it, we was all going to see what was best used for the citizen. That's just my thought.
Thank you, Representative Hill. Any other questions, comments? If not, I have a Representative Burnett.
Yeah. I don't know who this question is for, but the location of the wells on the property, how does that affect the development of that property? I mean, does it inhibit certain ventures, or are there things that we couldn't put on the properties because there's wells on there?
Mr. McIntosh.
It may, I think it's things that we can design around, as far as the locations of it. It's kind of more on the backside of the property. I mean, the way I kind of look at it is it's kind of three locations of the property. It's kind of on the backside. It's kind of in the middle of that open, they use it as a hay field, really, as a hay meadow. And so on the backside, as far as where the producing oil well is, where you can see the picture, I think that they're, it wouldn't affect the frontage on 75, and so I think on the front end we could still develop the parts that could be developed commercially. As far as the access to 75, I don't think it would affect that in any way, because it's more on the back side of the property. And so on the as far as that, I think it's things that we can design around when we develop the plan, when we bring in, like I said, when we gather for the business plan, I think that that's something that we can assess and we can design around and still find full use of the property. So I don't think it will prohibit, you know, at least the commercial aspects of it on the front end as far as the 75 access.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Bryant. Any other questions or comments, Representative Del Weaver?
Chief.
You said in 120 days, you can have the business plan for this piece of property?
That's the plan, yes, sir.
So, I mean, is that a promise? I mean, that's one of my biggest bugaboos is we buy properties, we don't have a plan for it, like the country club. So I can tell my communities that in 120 days, we will have a business plan for this site.
We feel confident in 120 days. FSB, although they're not going to do a business plan, will assist us with the master plan. And that would look at, you know, they're looking at traffic counts and a lot of things that go into the business plan. You know, what's best suited to be there. We pull our people together to do the business plan, whether, you know, we put a, travel plaza or whatever we do on the front half. And you can, you know, divide that up so that you could put a number of commercial establishments along Highway 75 and then the back half, we'd either sell at some point or keep in some way. But we just haven't put the particulars together to figure out which would be the best for us. You know, we know that they're going to put money into Duck Creek. I'm not sure how much it is yet. We'll figure that out. We know that we're going to do the roads. We know that's $500,000. So is it better to avoid some of these other costs and put the money into somewhere that we're gaining more money? We'll run all those different scenarios. And I feel confident because, you know, folks have already been working on some things. We just don't have it completed. And we're trying to share and give you a lot of information. We're not holding anything back. Everything that's in here is up to 4 o'clock this afternoon. So we didn't want to hold anything back. And, you know, we have done this fairly quickly. But I feel it's an opportunity that if the business plan wasn't suitable, then we sell it and make the profit and go on to something else. It will make a profit.
Here's from W. Representative Jack.
Yeah, thank you, Chief. If we was to purchase this, would it stay at that 3.5 range? Because the reason why I'm asking is, there's been times that we have said we're going to purchase it, and then at the last minute, they're going to jack up the price. That has happened before. Especially when they know Creek Nation's going to buy it.
No, at this point, we've got a firm agreement at 3.3. We're asking for 3.4 just for the incidentals of us having to do the survey and clear the title on our side, the legal work. So it's not going to, it won't go up.
Okay. Thank
you. It's fixed.
Representative Green?
Yes, I guess I'm not that up on purchasing land. I know that it's expensive. But in the legislation, we're purchasing it to increase our land base, our nation's land base. And then if nothing's not done with it, we're going to sell it for more. I mean, that's where we're purchasing it for our land base. But if it doesn't work out, we can sell it for more. You know, what's the purpose?
That's correct. I mean, if we buy it at 3.3, a year, 2 years from now, it's going to be worth more. You know, like I said before, it's on Highway 75. It's going to be one of the top 4 projects that they're going to upgrade in the state. So that stretch of property between here and Tulsa, is the values on it going to increase because the highway is going to be improved. So matter of time. I mean, if we just sat on it, mowed the grass, and did nothing except the income that's coming in right now, I think we'll come out ahead. I know we'll come out ahead.
Yes. Mr. Mike, as well, in Appendix F, on the appraisal to go page 25, that's in there. I think our average price per acre for the entire purchase is about $14,000. As you can see there, the average price on nearly comparable is over $20,000. I think for the five comparables, it averages out somewhere at about $24,000 per acre, whereas we're buying this at about $14,000 per acre. And that's all the facilities included. The comparables they used, they have the equine facilities and barns on them as well. And so I think that represents, if we move forward and try to parcel it out, I think it represents a lot of value there as far as what similar properties have sold for, where we can get a higher price per acre overall than what we're paying it right now. And I think that's represented through the comparables.
Thank you, Mr. McIntosh. Representative Green? Any other questions or comments? Representative Jones?
What was the asking price of for the land across from Duck Creek that came by now? Do you remember when it was? How many acres was that?
Inlow property? Inlow property?
40 acres for a million.
40 acres for $1 million?
Is that the one that...
Inlow's
property, yeah. That's $1 million.
So, I think it's a good investment, so thank you.
Okay, Representative Jones. Any other questions or comments? None, I have just a couple. My thought process on this is a little bit different. Representative Huff and I argue quite a bit when it comes to purchasing land. Because that's the first thing he asked me is, what's the plan? And I kind of look at it as, whoever owns the land in our boundaries controls what happens in our boundaries. And it's sad that we're having to buy our land back the way this stuff is structured. But you know, we have a lot of business things going on. I do agree with that. You know, we talk about things south of I-40. And you look at that, we have a lot of stuff going on south of I-40 as well. And I like the idea of owning the land in your boundaries, because like I said, you control what's in your boundaries when you own the land. And this land on Highway 75, anything between South Tulsa and Okmulgee is going to continue to appreciate. Mr. McIntosh, would you agree with that? I mean, regardless, like Representative Green just said, it's going to appreciate. You know, if something happened in the nation, did get into buying somewhere, this land is would be an asset that you wouldn't have problem getting rid of, correct?
Looking this over, I mean, I think one thing, kind of my background the past 6 years, is my job was to go around and kind of find problems. And so that's kind of generally my approach. But one thing, and kind of looking at this, one thing I couldn't get over was the, like I said, the location of the property. It's a really unique location. I mean, it's not something you can regularly run across. And then, like I said, the Dr. Zellner, he's had the 39 acres he just recently bought a couple of years ago. So this is something that took multiple years to piece together, at least a decade, to piece together a property of this size in that location. And so when I was kind of looking at it and trying to assess what the potential problems were, that was one thing that I couldn't find issue with was location. And I mean, I think that's kind of always heard the first three rules of real estate's location, location, location. And so, I mean, that was one thing. And then the future potential, it's, as everybody knows, Tulsa's heading south. And so, I mean, the future potential there is, like I said, I think that's the thing is, I think we'll make a profit on it for what we designed it for. But in terms of the risk in the purchase, I think there's the downside risk is limited, just mainly due to the location. I mean, the location's always going to be there, and it's going to help hold the value of the property. And so I think that reduces the risk significantly in the purchase. Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. McIntosh. You know, with that said, I agree with Representative Proctor. You know, and the only reason I don't have an issue with the jewel monies is because we would actually own something. You know, we're paying for it. It would be free and clear. And that's something that I could justify to a citizen that asked. You know, we own that. We're not borrowing on it. We're not going to make a payment on it. You know, it's money that we got back. We put in, like Ms. McIntosh was saying earlier. You know, that could be and might be able to help in the trust application process. Correct, Ms. McIntosh?
I consider that
Thank you. With that said, any other questions or discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Dale Proctor?
Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
No.
Thomas Yahola?
No.
Debbie Barnett?
Yes.
Dale Beaver?
Yes.
Pete Beaver?
No.
Joyce Steer?
Yes.
Johnny Green?
No.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
David Hill?
No.
Robert Huff?
No.
Mitch Jack?
No.
James Jennings?
No.
Adam Jones?
Yes.
Speaker, you have 7 in favor, 8 against.
7 in favor, 8 against. That motion fails. Next item on the agenda, other business. Any other business? Next item on agenda, announcements. Any announcements? Entertain a motion to adjourn. Mm-hmm. Representative Jennings makes a motion to adjourn. Representative Huff seconds. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Representative Pete Beaver, would you please give the benediction?
Graciously, Heavenly Father, we give thanks for the heaven that you have provided us. Lead us and guide us as we make sound decisions. But Lord, lead us and be sure that we have safe travels to our destination. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
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 Got it.
Got it.